Draw near. Pull up a chair. Get settled. Make yourself comfortable. This is a night to draw close to Jesus, to lean in, to recline next to him. This is not a night to sit far back, removed, objective. For tonight is the last night we share with him before everything falls apart. Tonight is the last night with our companion and friend, our master who has taught us so much, with whom we've shared years of daily meals, laughter, tears, and the plain old mundane. Tonight is the last meal, enjoyed as the last rays of light fade in the sky, dimly lit by candle flickers, before the dying wicks are blown out by the gusts of betrayal and we are scattered into the darkness. Jesus knew that it was his last night with his disciples. He knew Judas had decided to literally sell him out. He knew what events had been set in motion. He knew what was coming. And he wanted his disciples to understand too. But what he gave them on this, his last night, was not a theological treatise or a discourse on the mountain or a three-point sermon. No, what he gave them was a picture, an embodied parable of what was to come. As one writer puts it, not a theory, but an action. And so tonight is not a night for lots of explanation, but rather a night for participation, a night to learn what Jesus means by entering in, not by analyzing at a comfortable distance. It is a night, in other words, for liturgy. And yet there are some symbols that require a measure of explanation in order for us to understand them. If you try to read James Joyce's Ulysses without footnotes, you're going to be pretty confused. I've tried. Or if you try to watch a Bears game without knowing any of the rules, you're not going to understand what's going on or why people start clapping or groaning at various parts of the game. That might be the only time I ever use a sports analogy, so. So for us, foot washing is a symbol that needs a little bit of explanation. In Jesus' time, foot washing was a common part of hospitality before a meal. But even given that, Jesus' action was a symbol that needed explanation for the disciples too. If it had made perfect sense, Peter wouldn't have pushed Jesus away on the one hand and then done a 180 and asked to be washed head to toe. Jesus was good at doing things that seemed really strange in the moment, even to those who knew him best. And so before we enter into this symbol of foot washing, we too need a few interpretive keys to help us understand what we will see and experience. As you probably know, this meal enjoyed by the disciples in our gospel passage was a Passover meal, the meal that celebrated and remembered how God had delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt, especially and specifically the night we read about in our passage from Exodus. It was a special meal, a holiday meal. And they were finally all sitting down together to enjoy themselves. The meal was in full swing. Perhaps John was in mid-bite, and Thaddeus was telling his lamb joke that he told every year. And then Jesus gets up again, and he starts taking off his clothes. And then he takes up a towel, and he pours water into a bowl. And he starts going around from person to person, washing each man's feet. And for a while, no one says anything. You can hear nothing other than the water splashing, an occasional cough or sniff or a nervous giggle, the friction of a rough towel on rough feet. This was the task for a slave, preferably a Gentile slave, not even a Jewish slave. It was too lowly for that. Perhaps there was no servant there, and the disciples didn't want to stoop so low. Status meant something in that society, just as it does with ours. But Jesus lays down his garment and takes up his towel. just as he laid down his equality with God and took up the very nature of a human, a bondservant, as Paul puts it in Philippians. In Jesus' actions in washing the disciples' feet, we see a picture of his incarnation, his willingness to humble himself for our good, for the good of the world. We see his willingness to do the work of a servant rather than claim all the perks of being the master. So the first thing to understand about foot washing is that it is a picture of humble service, of putting other people first, rather than demanding one's rights and acknowledgement of status. I think this is what most people see when they see someone like Pope Francis, for example, wash the feet of the poor during Holy Week. But Jesus' actions in washing the disciples' feet is more than that, more than just a picture of service. The second thing I want to point out for us to understand about foot washing is that it's also a picture of what is about to come, Jesus' suffering and death. It is no accident that this foot washing takes place in the context of the Passover meal, the meal in which Jesus takes up the bread and wine and says, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you." The foot washing is another way to say the same thing that Jesus says through this meal, another picture of that same thing, self-sacrificial love, love that pours itself out for them even to the point of death, love that loves them to the fullest and to the bitter end. Eucharist and foot washing in this passage are two sides of the same coin. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So when Peter says, "No way, Lord," and Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me," Jesus isn't talking about the physical cleansing of Peter's dirty feet. He's talking about the spiritual cleansing that only his blood can bring. He says, "Unless you're willing to receive my self-giving sacrifice, you can't be mine. If you walk up to the foot of the cross and say to me, 'No thanks, I'm fine really, come on down here,' you're lost." I love how Bishop Tom Wright describes this passage as a meal interpreted by foot washing. He says this, "Just in case anyone should imagine that what Jesus did might be of general relevance but not specifically related to them personally, Jesus comes to each in turn, comes as the servant, comes with water and towel and washes their feet. It is an intimate, precious, private moment. And it says as clearly as anything ever could, 'I'm doing this for you.' Yes, you, not just the person sitting next to you. And if you let me wash you, I can clean and rinse and refresh every part of you, the sad parts, the lonely parts, the messy and muddled parts, the parts you wish with all your heart could be healed. They can be. Taste my bread, drink my wine, and let me wash you. That's what my coming death is all about." So foot washing is about Jesus, his incarnation, his willingness to humble himself even to the point of death, his great love for his disciples and for each of us and for the world. And that's already both really comforting and really challenging. But then Jesus has to go and say something else, as he always does. "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you." No longer is the standard that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. No, now we are to love one another as Jesus loved us. And all of a sudden, we realize why Jesus has been showing us the bread and the wine and why he's been washing our feet. He is showing us what it means to love one another as he loved us. He has been giving us the new commandment for a new covenant, and that is this, that we love one another the way Jesus loved us. The stakes just went way up. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And that is how we are to love one another now. You also are to wash one another's feet. In other words, we are to love one another the way that Jesus did, self-sacrificially, humbly, even to the point where we have to give up our rights or our desires, even our very life. Even when love gives someone the power to hurt us, to betray us the way Judas betrayed Jesus. Because the love of Jesus is vulnerable. Love requires handling dirty feet. Love allows someone else to see and handle our dirty feet and our hairy legs. I don't know about you, but when I think about foot washing, it's easy to spiritualize it. Ah, yes, humble service. Yes, yes. It's easy to say, of course, it's not actually about washing feet. It's just a physical symbol of a spiritual principle. And to an extent, that's true. But if I, just spiritualize it, we let ourselves off the hook too quickly. I think it is no accident that in the Gospel of John, just a chapter before Jesus is wiping the disciples' feet, Mary anoints Jesus' feet with expensive perfume and wipes them dry with her hair. And no accident that a few chapters later, the few disciples who are left at the foot of the cross after Jesus dies take his body and wash it and anoint it with costly spices and wrap it in linen clothes. You see, love is patient, love is kind, love is tender and mutual, and love is also concrete and embodied. So when we see Jesus' actions in foot washing, we must ask ourselves this question: how are we physically present to one another when it's not comfortable? How do we express love concretely to each other when it costs us something, when we don't want to, or even when it's just plain menial or a little gross? So, if literal foot washing isn't your thing tonight, we're not going to make you wash anybody's feet. That's okay. But that doesn't mean you're off the hook. The kind of love Jesus models requires concrete expression. It's not love that can be done digitally or from afar or through a proxy. We are the body of Christ in our bodies, not just in some abstract spiritual way. So how am I physically present to you, showing love to you when it's uncomfortable? How are you concretely present to me, showing love to me when it's messy and hard? When I think about foot washing, I remember a time from when I was little, when one year for my grandpa's birthday, I decided to give him little coupons for things like one free hug, etc. You might have done something similar. Well, one of the coupons I came up in my child's imagination was for one free toenail clipping. And when my grandpa saw that, he crowed with laughter and demanded to redeem that coupon right there upon the spot. Being young and inexperienced, I didn't know that as people age, their toenails get a lot tougher. So all of a sudden, I was really embarrassed and ran away. But my dad stepped in, and he got the toenail clippers. And he clipped my grandpa's toenails on my behalf. There's not a more earthy, concrete expression of love than that. Now, you might not have the need or the opportunity to do such a task for the person sitting next to you, but you might have the opportunity to hold their hand in a hospital room, or to hold them while they sob, even if it's inconvenient for you, or to cook them a meal when they're sick, or to offer your vehicle or your muscles when they need to move, or to allow them to do the same for you, because for some of us, receiving what we can't repay is the bigger challenge. So tonight, you are invited to participate in a symbol of that type of earthy, concrete, uncomfortable, self-sacrificial love. The type of love that says, I will be vulnerable with you and not pretend I'm something greater than I am. The type of love that says, I will be with you even when it's not comfortable. and the type of love that says, I will let you be with me even when it's not comfortable. See, it's not about feet, but it is about real embodiment. The actual hands and actual feet of the body of Christ, us. So draw near, lean in, pull up a chair, prepare to be a little uncomfortable, and love one another well, and meditate on the embodied love of Jesus in his hands and feet, the wine and the bread, the rough towel and the warm water, the blood and the sweat and the tears, and in the hands of one another. Amen.